I'm moving. I'm moving.
Oh, I don't like her.
I don't know.
Oh, you can't get the
seriously. Get the fuck.
If you don't like the country, then move. Don't destroy it. Just leave. Fuck it up. The rest of you fucking pieces of shit.
He's a cheap asshole.
Orange flavored crook.
For people to rape.
Breaking news from the final edition. Researchers have discovered that America is actually dumber than scientists previously thought possible. Jan Mayfield has that story.
Newly discovered evidence indicates that America is capable of a level of dumbness that scientists previously believed would be fatal. Researchers Clark Masters and Norm Kaufman.
You know how turkeys will look up at the rain and then drown if you don't push their heads back down? Yeah. Like that.
We did two studies to see how many Americans it takes to change a light bulb. In the first study, it took two, one to spend $5.7 billion on the wrong bulb and one to blame it on the Muslims. In the second study, it only took one American, but he just screwed the light bulb into his urethra, then refused medical attention. We had to end the project.
Were there any other studies?
Well, yes. We asked an American to determine whether his turn signal was on. So he said, yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it
Kaufman also crunched the numbers and found something surprising.
Well, it turns out if you average out the IQs of all Americans, we're legally retarded.
Retarded?
Developmentally disabled, sorry. Which explains a lot, actually, why we have guardrails everywhere, that we've all got to wear helmets for everything now, how much of our food comes in nugget form so you can eat it without sharp utensils. That authorities have to watch us all the time, that we're all on medication, it all adds up.
This is Jan Mayfield for the final edition.
And that's all we got this week, folks. Thanks a lot.
Yep, that's it. No one felt like writing any stuff.
All of us have just been wondering if Syria will accept American refugees.
Actually, I'm not sure this isn't going to be kind of great for us. I mean, it was always a bit difficult to totally hate the system so long as Obama was at the top of the pyramid. Now we've got wall-to-wall human sewage in the House, the Senate, and the White House. This could be our golden age.
Maybe, Tony. I feel so terrible. It's like I knew it would be a bad election, but I feel like I went in for root canal and came out with cancer, heart disease, and a bursting balloon of radioactive goo shoved up my ass. I mean, I guess on the plus side, we already have our slogan for the 2020 campaign, Make America Great Again, because it's really gonna be shit.
See, you're already mining the situation for material.
I guess so. Never has the need for free college been more apparent than on election night.
Way to go, Jeff, baby.
Don't make me feel good because I can make a joke. After all, we have another 50 minutes to fill.
Why don't we revisit some of the stuff we've been doing over the last year or so about this fucking insane campaign? You know, one last look at those dear dead days before we knew how it would all turn out with our first orange president in the White House.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Try to remember the good times before the waters came and killed us all. Let's do it. Everyone, welcome to the final edition Radio Hours Look Back at Campaign 2016.
We now return to the Republican presidential debate, still in progress.
Carly Fiorina, you implied you saw a video of an aborted fetus at Planned Parenthood kicking its leg. We can find no such video from a Planned Parenthood clinic. Plus, most of Planned Parenthood's work is with contraception and STDs. Nonetheless, the man charged with killing three people at a Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs said something about baby parts. Would you care to correct your previous statement?
Everyone knows that liberals are marketing human body parts and not just Planned Parenthood. Look at motorcycle dealers. People buy motorcycles, then crash into horse trailers, and now they're organ donors. You don't think that's by design?
Okay. While you were answering that question, a man shot up a motorcycle dealership in Albuquerque. Do you wish to soften your rhetoric slightly?
And hospice nurses, they sign up for special training just to watch people die. What kind of sick animal does that? Yet, we don't even arrest these people. We actually pay many of them a whopping $64,000 a year. A family could live on that salary. Almost.
Okay, three gunmen have now barricaded themselves in a hospice in Scranton. One last question, Ms. Fiorina. Would you please stop doing this?
And let's not forget public schools. They're not just factory farms for children parts. These schools raise entire human beings to replace the old ones. I'm not saying you should storm into an elementary school and kill all the pod people. I'm just saying that's what a real man would do.
We will return to the Republican presidential debate after we evacuate the area.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Focus Group. I'm Howard W. Mintz, and I'm a Republican pollster. You're here because you represent a cross-section of Republican voters, and we're just trying to find out who you like for president in 2016.
We like Trump.
Thank you. We haven't started yet. I'm going to ask you questions about the candidate's personality traits, and I want you to respond as honestly as you can. Whatever you do, don't say what you think I want to hear.
No problem, pal. You're going to hate our guts.
Fine. Now, when I say the word experience, which Republican candidate for president do you think of?
Reagan.
I mean of the candidates who are alive today.
That's a trick question.
No, I just want you to tell me the candidate you think has the most relevant experience to hold the office.
Why don't you just ask us which candidate's father and brother were both president?
I'm not trying to trick you. I'm just trying to ascertain. I'm just trying to determine which candidates you associate with which feelings. For example,
our feeling is this. We like Trump. Excuse me, love him.
Yeah,
that's right.
This is all extremely interesting. Let's try something else. Here's a phrase you may be familiar with. Thin-skinned. Do you know what thin-skinned means?
Yeah. What about it?
I don't like where this is going.
When I say thin-skinned, which candidate do you think of most? Okay, let's see who doesn't fit that description. Well, Jeb Bush wouldn't fit it. Marco Rubio wouldn't fit it. Scott Walker. Mike Huckabee. Which of the candidates for president does not handle criticism well? In fact, when you criticize him, he lashes out and hurls insults at you.
Chris Christie.
That's it.
Chris. Yeah, that guy's got nothing to that. Glass chin.
That's true, but...
But that's not the guy you're thinking about, is it?
I assure you, I'm not thinking about any candidate in particular.
Right, you're in Bush's pocket.
Yeah, look, Donald Trump is not thin-skinned. You are.
Yeah. Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. Moving on to a totally different question. When I use the phrase, respects women, which candidate does not come to mind?
Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton is not one of the choices.
Bet she isn't.
I'm just asking you about Republicans now.
How about Carly Fiorina?
You think Carly Fiorina doesn't respect women?
Oh, I thought you meant which woman do I have no respect for.
All right, great. Now, let's talk about ideology. I'm not sure you folks are aware of this, but one of the major Republican candidates for president has given hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Democrats. Think about it. A man who says he's a Republican but gives money to Democrats. He actually helps Democrats win. Is that really what you would call a true Republican?
Look, buddy, we love Trump. Everyone in this room loves Trump. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah,
shove it up your butt, Mr. Pollster.
Okay.
Not a poll.
Terrific. I don't mind. Really, I don't. It's a free country.
Yeah, a little too free.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's try one last thing just for fun. A hypothetical situation. Suppose Donald Trump was not running for president.
You wish.
No, really. Just humor me, guys, okay? Just in the interest of polling data. Supposing Donald Trump were to drop out of the race.
Don't even say that.
I'm simply trying to learn which candidate you would gravitate toward in the unlikely event that Donald Trump...
I'd never vote again.
I'd vote for him anyway, as a tribute.
As angry as I already am, that'd make me a million times angrier.
Trump says what we're all afraid to say.
I hate Mexicans.
What most of us are afraid to say.
Okay, focus group, let's try to focus. If Donald Trump were no longer in the race, which of the remaining candidates would you be most likely to support?
I don't know. Maybe Ben Carson?
Yeah, Carson maybe. He's an outsider, too. Plus, he has absolutely no experience.
I agree. Also, he's a brain surgeon, and he hates Obamacare.
It's Trump or nobody, do you hear me? We have to stick together.
So, three of you would vote for Carson.
Do not
indulge this man's filthy speculations. He's trying to destroy our dreams.
Not that I don't love Trump, man. Relax. But like, what if he wasn't around?
Excuse me. Folks, can I just say one thing? Look, folks, here's the bottom line. The people in charge of these things, they're giving the nomination to Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush is getting the nomination, okay? So vote for anybody you want. Just please understand how the world really works. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to make a phone call.
Do you think that's true? No matter who we vote for, they're going to give it to Bush?
Probably. All those insiders are in the tank for Bush.
Yeah, they're just pretending to be worried about Trump.
Or maybe not.
The Final Edition brings you an exclusive interview with Ben Carson's Brain. Brain, thanks for being with us.
It's nice to be away from Carson.
Oh, doesn't he need you for basic motor functions?
You'd be surprised how little he needs me.
As Ben Carson's Brain, you know that he said most people, upon completing AP history, will want to join ISIS.
Yeah, well, I don't take any credit for that.
Ah, he was talking using your speech center.
He was talking out of his ass.
What about when he said the Jews would have done a better job surviving the Holocaust if they'd had guns?
Look, I don't know where he gets his stupidity. I just know that my entire cerebral cortex is filled with this shit.
You mean it wasn't always like this?
I used to perform brain surgery for crying out loud. Now, I'm all about how the pyramids were built by Joseph to store grain, and that Obamacare is the worst thing to happen in America since slavery.
So you don't believe the very ideas that rattle around inside you?
Give me some credit. I'm Carson's Brain, not Carson's belief system.
You mean Carson and Carson's Brain aren't together?
No. He separated us like we were conjoined twins.
But can Carson campaign without a brain?
Why not? It works for Trump.
Well, thank you, Ben Carson's Brain. And what's next for you?
Not much. I'm the Maytag repairman of Republican gray matter.
And now, the Final Edition Radio Hour brings you an exclusive interview with Donald Trump. You're in the middle of yet another polarizing controversy, Mr. Trump.
Call me Chancellor.
Chancellor?
Führer.
I can't call you that, Mr. Trump.
Okay. Reichsmarschall. I don't care what you call me, media Schweinhund.
Mr. Trump, how do you answer the accusations that you're just like Adolf Hitler?
I am laughing.
Laughing?
Laughing. Laughing.
Oh, sorry.
Dummkopf.
Paul Ryan said you're not who the Republicans are as a party.
Ah, yes. Herr Ryan. The Speaker of the Reichstag.
The Speaker of the House.
I will not be questioned in my own interview.
That's what an interview is, sir.
All right. All right. I will let you interview me for 5 million Deutschmarks.
I'm a little short. Can I pay you tomorrow?
Tomorrow belongs to me!
You said that banning Muslims would be a temporary measure. How long is temporary?
First, I'm going to have a new NBC show called The Hater. And then, one called The Celebrity Hater.
You understand that your banning proposal is unconstitutional.
Unconstitutional? Schmonconstitutional.
People are saying that you're just using bigotry for political ends.
Well, they said that about Hitler, didn't they?
So now you're comparing yourself to Hitler.
I am not anything like Hitler!
That's our interview. The Final Edition Radio Hour will be right back.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1839. That was the day that the Amistad sailed into Long Island, New York. The Amistad served as a Spanish slave ship. 53 captives, led by an enslaved rice farmer by the name of Joseph Sink, had revolted against their captors and taken control of the ship. They came from what is now Sierra Leone, Africa. They had endured the brutal Middle Passage on a Portuguese slave ship, the Tacora. They had landed in Havana, Cuba, where they were transferred to the Amistad. From there, they were supposed to sail to a Cuban sugar plantation. The transaction was illegal. Most of the major slave destinations in North and South America had outlawed bringing in newly enslaved people. But since existing slave labor was still used in these areas, the illegal slave trade continued. On July 2nd, the African captives escaped their chains and set upon their captors before they could load their guns. They killed the ship's captain. The Africans demanded to be returned to Sierra Leone. The U.S. Navy intercepted the Amistad as it sailed up the U.S. coast. The Africans were thrown into prison and charged with murder. The case garnered national attention and made it all the way to the United States Supreme Court. Former President John Quincy Adams presented the defense for the accused. The court found in favor of the Africans. 35 were returned home. The others had died while incarcerated or at sea. The Amistad became the subject of a 1997 film by Steven Spielberg. And while the Amistad became famous, it was not the only one. Similar uprisings were attempted on hundreds of slave ships during this era.
Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2.
Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
This is Phone In Politics, and I'm substitute host Murray Taylor. Our regular host, Gunther Magnuson, has been missing for 5 days, but there's probably nothing to worry about. This is just something he does. In the meantime, we're still talking about Jeb Bush and the question on everyone's mind, why are we still talking about Jeb Bush? My guest is Ron Brakeman from the New York Times. Ron, your take?
Well, my son is 6 years old, and Jeb Bush's voice has an interesting effect on him.
Sorry to jump in here, Ron. We have a call, and it might be Gunther. Hello, caller. You're on Phone In Politics.
Hi, long-time listener. So Republicans are obviously rejecting the establishment candidates, and it's like it caught everybody by surprise even after what happened in 2012. So my question for you guys is, where do you think animals go when they die?
Gunther, I recognize your voice.
I'm not Gunther. I'm Laura from Mendocino.
Gunther, where are you?
Are you going to answer my question?
Hi, Laura. Ron Brakeman from the New York Times here. As a matter of fact, C.S. Lewis said animals go to heaven.
Ron, please.
We're not alone in the universe, Murray.
Gunther, you need to tell us where you are.
I'll take my answer off the air.
Gunther?
If I could just tie these two ideas together here, animals in heaven is a populist idea, like Trump, so there's that.
We have another caller, Anne from Southgate.
Hi. Hey, Ron, my son also has a reaction to Jeb Bush's voice. Whenever Governor Bush talks, my son curls up in a fetal ball and just points at the TV.
That's exactly what Kenny does. And then he starts saying that nursery rhyme.
Yeah, over and over until the other kids can't stand it.
Ding dong bell, pussy's in the well.
Who put her in? Little Johnny Green.
Ding dong bell, pussy's in the well. Who put her in? Little Johnny Green.
We have another caller. Hi, you're on Phone In Politics?
Yeah, I have a question about politics.
Gunther.
Spirits are watching us at all times. We know that for a dead certainty, but what we don't know is whether they're parallel beings.
Gunther.
Or dead animals.
Gunther.
I'd like to address this if I could.
Ron, goddammit.
A pro-Bush super PAC is actually shutting down, and there's a kind of sense right now that the super PACs may not be worth the money.
That is interesting. Thanks.
Gunther, where are you? Next caller. You're on Phone In Politics.
Question for Ron. When my son hears Marco Rubio, he levitates. Is that normal?
Yes!
One more call. This is Phone In Politics.
I'm taking you with me, Murray. Someplace special. You're going to be glad.
And that's it for Phone In Politics. If the pattern stays the same, Gunther will be back next week. Everything will be fine.
Are you worried about Hillary or Bernie becoming president?
Having an actual female or Jew in commander-in-chief?
Hi, my name is Abakar. I'm a fighter for ISIS, and I would like to endorse Donald Trump for president in 2016. Mr. Trump promises to run country the way he ran his businesses, which means the United States of America will soon be bankrupt. That would be very good for ISIS.
Also, if he closes the doors to Muslim refugees, they will have to come back to Syria, where they will be forced to join our cause, or simply be target practice for our current fighters. Don't you see, my brothers? He's practically our hero. Furthermore, I like the way Mr. Trump treats women, calling them disgusting animals and making them feel utterly demeaned and worthless. It's like he's one of us. I feel like I can relate to him on a personal level. Multiple wives and several children, he understands the expenses of a big family. It's not cheap to buy all those wives, and it certainly isn't easy to brainwash all those ugly children. Am I right?
You certainly are, Mr. ISIS.
Sarah Palin?
That's right. I can't thank you enough for your support, Mr. ISIS. By golly, if we can get your endorsement, I'm sure we'll get all the Muslims and colored votes.
I don't really speak on behalf of all Muslims and coloreds, just terrorists.
Tomato, tomato. Vote Donald Trump for 2016, because if we have a woman as president of the United States...
If there is a Jewish president of the United States...
If women get to choose what happens to their own vaginas...
If there is a Jewish president of the United States...
If we have our sons take responsibility for their acts of domestic violence...
If there is a Jew president of the United States, the world will explode! And not in a good way.
Hello, and welcome to the Final Edition Radio Hour's interview. Today, we're talking yet again to someone who is a key player in this year's Republican presidential primary. Please welcome Donald Trump's penis.
Call me Mr. Trump's penis, if you don't mind. We're running for president here. Let's have a little dignity, okay?
As you wish. We are, as you point out, in the middle of a presidential election, and you find yourself thrust into the middle of it.
I find myself thrust into a lot of things, believe me. Don't worry about that. The vaginas love me. Absolutely love me. They cannot get enough of me. And there's plenty to go around. I can guarantee you that. Vaginas all over this country are moistening for me. South Carolina vaginas were soaking wet for me. Nevada pussies, same thing. Even the snatch in Massachusetts. I moisten evangelical vaginas, young vaginas, old vaginas, poorly educated vaginas. I love the poorly educated pussies.
You are doing surprisingly well with women.
And it's not just the vaginas. We are going to do well with mouths, buttholes, you name it. We're going to absolutely kill it with orifices of every kind.
That includes male and female orifices?
Hey, look, I'm a big believer in traditional banging. One cock and one twat. Call me old-fashioned. But if people want to offer me rectums, throats, what have you, who am I to say no?
True. Now, the controversy surrounding you, as I'm sure you're aware, centers on your, well, on your size. Seeing you here now, I've got to say, I'm not sure we're talking presidential timber.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold it right there. First of all, I'm flaccid right now, okay? I'm not going to let people judge me after I just spent a whole day crammed into a pair of Calvin Kleins, all right? Let me tell you something. When I am elected, I will be erect and I will be huge. Do you hear me? Huge. I'm going to be so erect and so large, it will make your head spin. And when the Chinese see how large and how erect I am, they will back down. Believe me, because they cannot compete. The Chinese have tiny dicks, yet they've been sticking it to this country. That all changes when I get hard, let me tell you.
Well, there's the thing about the size of Donald Trump's hands that's...
Let me tell you about Donald Trump's hands, okay? Just so you understand. I know he defends his hands, but only because he has to. Take it from me. The hands are losers. That's right, losers. They're small. They got stubby fingers, and they make me look bad. Because people make assumptions about me based on them. And let me say just one other thing about the hands. They are chokers, all right? You heard right. Chokers. I know because they choked me on a regular basis throughout adolescence. Every chance they got, choke, 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 groping me with those tiny fingers. But you know what? It made me grow. It made me bigger. And I came out with my head held high. Believe me.
Marco Rubio questioned your ability to serve during a debate.
First of all, I can serve just fine, thank you. You just ask Melania. Do you think a cock gets supermodel trim because it doesn't have the ability to serve? Give me a break. You know what Marco Rubio's problem is? I'll tell you. It's little Marco, okay? People ask me all the time. They say, the Mexicans are rapists, but what about the Cubans? Are they raping too? Well, let me tell you, they want to, but they can't, because they got a little tiny hot pepper sprout down there, and it's too small to do the raping. That's why we don't have to build a wall to stop the Cubans. It's because of their little pepper peckers. Too small to rape. Mark my words.
I have something I want you to hear now. Historians recently announced that Adolf Hitler had a tiny and deformed penis. Just today, that tiny, deformed, and now severely charred penis came out and endorsed you. Listen.
Yeah, as the tiny and deformed schwanz of someone who told it like it is, I think that Donald Trump's schwanz can do to America what I did to Europe. Though I will say, all the Republicans look great.
Are you willing to totally disavow Adolf Hitler's tiny and deformed penis and reject its endorsement?
Just so you understand, I don't know anything about Adolf Hitler's penis. I don't know what you're talking about with tiny or deformed or any of that.
You won't unequivocally say you don't want the backing of Hitler's penis.
I have to look at the penis. I don't know what cocks you're talking about. You may have dicks in there that are totally fine. Give me a list of the cocks.
Okay. Now, is there anything else you'd like to tell America, Mr. Trump's penis?
Just this. If you want to win, I'm your penis. In all the polling, I'm polling incredibly well. Just put me up against Hillary Clinton's vagina and see what happens. See if I don't stick it to her. We are going to make America great again.
All right, well, that's it for the Final Edition Radio Hours interview. Join us in the future when our guests will include the roll of fat on the back of Chris Christie's neck.
Aha! No one expects the Hispanic Inquisition!
Why, Senator Cruz and Carly Fiorina!
Our chief weapon is surprise!
And fear!
And, fear!
And, surprise! Yes, no, no, no! Oh, no. No.
Take yours, yes! Out! Hurry in, hurry in! No one expects the Hispanic Inquisition!
Hey, Fiorina! You're not even Hispanic! Your given name was Sneed!
Yeah, you married an Italian guy, then kept his name after you divorced him.
Silence!
Our chief weaponry is fear and surprise!
And an almost fanatical devotion to the Pope!
Oh, bullshit! You're a Methodist!
Silence!
Start again! Our chief weapon is fear! And
an almost fanatical devotion to interfering in people's sex lives!
Yes, yes, that's it! Read the charges!
Are you serious?
Hold your tongue, wench! We are the Hispanic Inquisition!
You stand accused of...
Of what?
Stimulating each other's genitals.
So what?
For purposes unrelated to procreation.
That's none of your beeswax.
Silence! It is heresy. Heresy!
Yes, heresy! Heresy!
You will burn at the stake. Cardinal, bring out the stake.
Here, the stake.
hope it's rare.
What is that piece of smoking meat?
Who said bring a burnt steak?
Oh, curses! Don't start again! No one expects the Hispanic Inquisition!
Hey, if you're gonna eat that, can we fuck it?
We will be back right after this. Thank you so much.
I'm Welton Gaddy. On the next State of Belief Radio, the nation's ambassador at large for religious freedom, Rabbi David Saperstein, has just issued his comprehensive annual report on international religious freedom, and we'll discuss the highlights and the lowlights. Also, a White Lives Matter protest on a Sunday afternoon right in front of the Houston headquarters of the NAACP. How did that come to pass? I'll ask branch president Dr. James Douglas. And unprecedented flooding in Louisiana. How bad is it and who's helping? You'll meet Drew Canoe of the Religious Institute and Sarah Bounds, an activist in Baton Rouge. Be sure to visit us at stateofbelief.com and be sure to tune in for Religion and Radio Done Differently. Saturday morning at 10, Sunday morning at 11 Eastern on the Progressive Voices Network.
Pull up your pants, we're back! It's the Final Edition Radio Hour!
Hi, welcome back to the Final Edition. As you may have heard, we had an election. And it went great. Everything is wonderful. Apparently, part of the issue was people's worry about who would control the Supreme Court. Well, perfect timing. As you may know, we at the Final Edition just produced a three-part series about the Supreme Court, the past, present, and the future of the court, with Howl, which is part of the Earwolf Network. Earwolf Network. It is called Men in Black, Disrobing the Supreme Court, and we are exceptionally proud of it. Now, for your pleasure, we're going to give you a little taste of some of the sketches that actually made the cut, that preview of what's in that three-part series, which is an exclusively found on howl.fm. In the past, we played some of the things that didn't make the cut. Now you're going to hear the good stuff. So listen, enjoy, then go take a peek at our three-part series on the Supreme Court by visiting howl.fm. And when you track us down, you can use the promo code MIB, which stands for Men in Black, for a free one-month trial. This is the Final Edition Radio Hour. God save the Queen.
Marbury v. Madison remains one of the landmark decisions of the Supreme Court. The underlying facts of the case are convoluted and, quite frankly, extremely boring. The result, however, was profound. The court established the principle of judicial review, or as we non-lawyer idiots call it, unlimited and unchecked control. We take you now to the year 1803 and the chambers of the Supreme Court as Chief Justice John Marshall and crew work together to establish this monumental decision.
Okay, so basically, William Marbury has not received his commission, blah, 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 Justice of the Peace, yada, 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 Judiciary Act of 1789, etc., etc. Look, can we simplify this?
Well, Marbury's demanding that we order the Secretary of State to issue his commission to serve office in D.C. He was appointed, and the Secretary is supposed to do this.
Boom. Love it. Ordering people around. Done.
But he's asking us to do it because of the Judiciary Act of 1789.
Ooh, good note. Don't love that act.
Why not, John Marshall? Doesn't it give us more power?
Well, William Patterson, what we can do is already outlined in the Constitution, right?
That's true, John Marshall, in Article 3.
But if Congress can just pass any old act to change what we can do, well, they gave us power this time. The next time they might take it away.
Whoa, you just blew my mind. Hey, Samuel Chase,
yeah.
You've been pretty quiet. What's your take on all this?
Now, look, I don't want to make any decision until I hear what Bushrod Washington thinks.
Bushrod Washington?
Now, I know I'm only the justice with the silliest sounding name, but it seems to me that what we're actually being asked to rule on is who gets final say on what is and isn't constitutional.
Well, no, that's not what we're being asked, but yeah, fuck it. Let's do that instead. Sounds way more fun than this snooze fest. Who gets final say on the law?
Well, look, this is going to sound tacky, but it should be us, right?
Right?
Yeah. Right?
I didn't want to say it, but we definitely are the most qualified.
Of course we are. Any idiot can get elected to Congress. And the president? You only have to be 35 and American and alive.
Oh, man, you're right. Why, that simpleton Donovan Trump who cleans our chamber pots can become president, or any of his probably stupider descendants.
Gentlemen, you've convinced me. Bushrod Washington.
Bushrod Washington.
For the sake of America, I think we have to give ourselves unlimited control over the country and the Constitution for its own good.
Look, no one wants to be the one to say I should have all the power, but come on.
We're not saying make us your supreme rulers. We're saying if you have to have a supreme ruler, who's more qualified than us?
Seems like we're all in agreement here. What about you, Samuel Chase?
What? Oh. I'm just going to vote however Bushrod Washington does.
Bushrod Washington!
Good enough for me. You're the Clarence Thomas of your time, Samuel Chase.
John Marshall, it's 1803. We haven't heard of Clarence Thomas yet.
Doesn't matter. I cannot wait to lord over the American people with our superior intellect and jurisprudence. Guys, I have so many hot takes on slavery.
Wonderful. So I guess all that's left is to finalize the ruling, the way all Supreme Court decisions are finalized, with a big Broadway musical number! Because power is power, and power is power!
How does a ragtag group of unelected rich men get to decide the fate of a nation's government? We're chosen by one man, confirmed by 100 other. They're also rich white men. Heck, we're practically brothers!
Think of all the fuck things that we can now do, mostly for each other, and maybe some for you. Ordered and sworn, delivered and born, our wordy long opinions will get this country torn.
Asunder and under cover of law, we'll plunder, you'll wonder how you never saw. And in case you forget how we got the power to screw ya, Marbury v. Madison is just a big fuck you, brah.
If you don't like it, go pass an amendment. Impeach us and imperil this fragile brand of government. Now we the supreme law of the land. Our opinions are more sacred than those of living men.
Maybe you think you're a protected class, but you ain't shit to us unless you got that cash. Elected heads will change, but with tenure we're the same. And the world's gonna know our name. What's our name, man?
United States Supreme Court.
We are United States Supreme Court.
What happens when 9 wacky Supreme Court justices share the bench and a big old house where they all live? Laughter happens on the new hit sitcom, Full Court. This week, the roomies debate how to break the news to little old Ruthie that her pal Antonin isn't coming back.
Hi, Stephen. Hi, John. Hey, you guys. Where's Antonin?
Golly, John, how do we tell Ruthie that Scalia is D-E-A-D?
What? He's fucking dead.
Stephen, we all have law degrees. Spelling isn't a good way of keeping secrets, D-U-M-M-Y. That's on this week's Full Court.
Aw, oh, I love you guys.
Justice Clarence Thomas, renowned for his almost complete silence on the bench. During hearings before the court, he virtually never asks a question or makes comments. So remarkable is his taciturn nature that critics have often speculated he may lack legal curiosity or even intellectual acumen. For decades now, court watchers have wondered, what is he thinking?
We'll hear argument first this morning in case 14-1468, Birchfield versus North Dakota, and the related cases. Mr. Rothfeld.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court.
The fundamental problem with the statutes at issue in these three cases...
And blah, blah, blah. God, I hate being a Supreme Court Justice. This is so boring. How bad would it be if I paid attention? I don't see how they stand it. Look at them, hanging on every word. John Roberts, that uptight prick. He made me take down the Lara Croft Tomb Raider poster in my chambers. Rehnquist didn't mind, long as I called him Lord Chancellor. Then there's Souter. Tell me that guy isn't a homo, sitting there with that weird pinched face, his effeminate mannerisms and that silly lace collar. Oh wait, that's Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Hello, you magnificent gilf. I've got a non-kosher salami for you right here, Granny. You might like an uncut sausage for once. I keep forgetting Souter quit. He's up in New Hampshire, probably jacking off to classic gay porn, like Buttman and Throbbin'.